Hi there. Welcome to our podcast, Cozy Conversations with the Sister Project. My name is Michelle.
And my name's Lauren, and we are your hosts.
Hey, host.
Hey, ho.
This is our version of a radio talk show, and every week you can join us for a sisterly chat where we talk about literally everything.
We're going to tackle current events, what's going on in the world around us. We'll share some personal insight and stories, and of course, share random bits of things we think you should know, along with whatever else sisters talk about.
There's a lot. So if you're into easy listening, lots of laughing and some inspiration sprinkled throughout, we are going to be fast, weird internet friends.
Welcome.
Well, hello there and welcome to Cozy Conversations with the Sister Project. I am your host, Lauren Massarella, and I am being joined here by my most wonderful host and sister, Michelle Anderson. What's up, sis?
I'm just thinking when you say those nice things about me, it just warms my heart. I'm great. How the heck are ya?
I'm doing so well. I like warming up your heart. We all need a little heartwarming.
It's nice to hear nice things about yourself once in a while. You know what? I mean, we're always beating the shit out of ourselves. So when somebody says something nice, I just take it and I run with it.
Just create those new neural pathways.
Yep, just created two highways right now.
You guys, we are so thrilled that you are joining us for our 88th episode.
Unreal.
Isn't
88.
It?
88.
Kind of fucked up.
It goes really fast.
The amount of episodes go fast, and then while recording the episodes, they fly by.
The week flies by.
So it does. So here's the deal with this episode. We covered a couple things. We came across this cool little TED Talk on anger, and you know what? We experience anger sometimes, so we're like, let's dive in a little bit. What is anger about?
I needed to watch that video about anger.
So we unpacked that a little bit, and then we also received, we got a topic from a loyal listener, which, by the way, you guys, send them in.
Keep them coming.
Don't be shy. If you see something, read something, hear something you want us to talk about, it's likely we will, right? So this one was about a meme that someone shared that was put up by Scary Mommy, and it was all about how we should socialize now. And we've got some thoughts on that. But before we dive into that, and by the way, you're going to hear another manly voice. My husband again has joined us.
Third time.
Third time's a charm.
He's working. He's angling to get his robe.
No, this is the fourth time.
Fourth time.
Fourth time. Before we dive into this conversation, we of course want to give a shout out to one of our loyal listeners and friends, weird internet friends. So Michelle, will you read Shauna's review?
I would be happy to. Shauna titled her review Podcast Gold, and she gave us 5 stars. Found this podcast through Elise at Fox Family Den on Insta. Run, don't walk, and subscribe to this podcast. It's easy listening, but thought-provoking at the same time. Imagine those best times with your girlfriends, spit-laughing, and tear-inducing heart-to-heart conversations. I am that crazy lady walking her dog and laughing out loud with earpods in, but I don't give an F. This podcast makes me happy. Keep up the great content. Love from Michigan, Shauna.
That review was gold.
Thank you so much,
Shauna. Thank you, Elise. Thank you for sharing us. Listen, you guys, listeners, that's how this thing works. This is how a podcast does somewhat well, by you sharing us. So whether it is like grabbing one of our episodes and sharing the link with your friends. And listen, if you're not in the Chicago area, if you are anywhere else but Chicago, I'm going to beg you now.
Double please to share us.
Double please.
Double up.
Send our podcast, whether it's like however you want to, because it helps us so much. And that's how it gives us a couple legs, more than we have.
More than the couple that we have.
Yeah, we got 4.
Yep.
We need like 500,000.
Exactly.
So thanks you guys so much for sharing us. Feel free to leave us a review, subscribe, follow, do all of those things you can do to help us. Because what we love to do is help you by providing some good content, laughs, and inspiration. We hope you enjoy this conversation. Stay cozy. I don't know if this is a rumor, but I heard that the royal family never flies on the same plane together. Dad once separated us for flights.
I hate when we fly together. I get it.
I mean, at least everything happens at once.
I actually, for me, it's just me and Ryan alone flying together that freaks me out. Like if we're going to a wedding in a couple months, I would rather we fly separate. So if the plane goes down, one of us is allowed.
I feel like that's a switch that is flipped when you have kids. That I feel like it hasn't
I've heard
hasn't
this.
Flipped for us. So for me, I'm like, fuck, I'm like, I don't, I've never, that's never crossed my mind.
It's
never.
Definitely the moment you, the child comes out, there's this whole different world of the way you start thinking as a parent. It is, it's not for your, you no longer, it, you instantly are now thinking for somebody else.
Oh,
first.
Lord.
Well,
I've been a selfish bastard for 41 years. Same. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
And it's scary.
I always think that if I were to die in a plane crash, at least everyone will say, well, she died doing what she loves.
Traveling.
Even if you're like on a plane to...
Anywhere. You know how I feel. I love flying.
Same.
I meant to tell you the story the last time I was telling you my story about Van Halen, the guy that was... next to me in the plane. Anthony, do you remember when we flew to Whistler and I sat next to the man, because I always sit in the middle, and he was wearing one of those like kind of crunchy windbreaker jackets from like 1995. Okay.
Is it one that would, the color would change?
No, it wasn't hyper color, okay. But it was just like geometric shapes, like neon colors, and then with like black interjected.
Very,
like
very
super
vintage,
90s. Vintage. So he had this jacket on, and I thought it was kind of cool. It made a lot of noise when he moved, but then he must have gotten a bit warm, and this is when the problem started. He took off the outer shell, and what he had on underneath was yet another vintage piece that smelled so much like BO from the 1970s. I almost died on the plane without the plane going down.
No.
I don't remember this.
See, you love flying.
I love it.
Talk about how much you love it, but you have some really gross stories.
Oh my God, I once was on a plane and I remember I got like something like poked me in my arm and I was like, oh my God, what's that? And I looked, and at this time I was actually by the aisle or by the window because I was flying alone to California, and a woman's toe.
From between the seats, from behind?
From behind me. She wanted to nuzzle it in there, and they were long and jagged. And
how is this for real?
And then another time I was at the airport, and there was a woman who was sitting like two chairs down next to me, and she was plucking her eyebrows. And I found that to be interesting. It's always funny when people are doing their hygiene, like pulling out skin or hair,
clipping
DNA.
Nails. Yeah,
and while
like
she
that.
Was pulling out her eyebrows, her son was sitting right next to me, just staring at me. And
oh,
at one
the whole
point,
time. The whole time, huh?
Do you remember?
Didn't she then start clipping her toenails?
She may have. I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
But there was a lot going on, and the kid was just staring at me. I'm like, what's up, Sonny?
There is nothing funnier than when you're being stared at by like
a kid.
That is, it's the most awkward. Like, I remember when I was like a younger person, I'd like stare back and sort of scowl at him. But now I'm like, take a picture. It lasts long.
Yeah. So Pee Wee Herman. All right, Michelle, Anthony, I've got a question for you. When is the last time you were like mad? Mad. Seeing red. Blood boiling.
Will pissed me off a couple of nights ago because I'm in a transition phase. My kids are getting older, and so like we need to talk about what time you come home at night, and they're riding their bikes in the neighborhood. And he was at a friend's house and he said, you know, and we established time 10:30, you can stay out till 10:30. And at 10:30, he ain't home. And he texts me, I'll be home at 10:45.
Oh, they don't get it
and
yet.
And it really pissed me off because I blow at night. Like if I'm in bed or I'm tired, I'm just the worst. So I was tired. I wanted to fall asleep. He wasn't home. And I had to like take a step back and recognize the fact that we had not had this conversation. He didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even know a curfew.
What's a curfew?
Yeah, we didn't have those yet. Mm-hmm. So, but that it, I was burning mad.
And Anthony, you were pissed off a week back about something. You don't have to tell us everything, but you got pissed off.
Yeah, something ruffled my feathers.
When you get pissed, Anthony, because I don't usually see you pissed. I just see, you know, mostly the happy, you know,
mellow,
chill side.
The fake me.
No, I just get.
You should see him when you leave.
No, the spouse gets to see all of us.
Oh my God.
All sides. So what do you do when you get pissed? You throw shit?
He's gotten better.
I don't know. You know,
swear?
I've had my moment trading, like when, you know, back in the day, Lauren seen me, you know, I had to go out.
Oh my God, the noises.
What noises?
Like throwing things, like punching the chair.
Like biting your computer remote?
Yeah, I've punched a screen.
Okay.
There was a couple times where I remember I had to come downstairs and be like, I think, I said to Lauren, like, I'm going to go in the yard and break something. Just don't be alarmed. And she would be like, okay, what are we going to, what do you want to break? What
and
do you
then
think?
What did she set up, two cinder blocks and a board for you to do a karate job?
Pretty much.
And
like,
yeah,
let it out.
I think one time I brought something, some old like electronic, yep, something that was going to go in the garbage.
And you just beat the shit out
I
of it?
Fucking just.
Does it down. Did it work?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right. I mean, the kids
probably,
therapist,
probably not healthy. But, you know.
The kids, no, I think it probably is.
Used to tell them if they're really, really angry to go in their room and muffle their face into a pillow and scream their nuts off.
I have a friend who is a yoga therapist, and she would say the same thing. Again, bringing it back to mom, because last episode, but when mom first got sick, I was so angry about some stuff, and she would be like, go home, put your head in a pillow, and scream your face off.
It makes you feel like you release something.
And the housewives and the New York housewives right now, they had like a healing circle. And guys, like Ramona's like, oh, they're all screaming, but it seems to
I
work.
I saw that. Was that it's when they were so in Hamptons?
Yes. For Burning Man. I was pissed off. I was really angry, really hot about something last week. Someone did something and it affected me. It gave me a couple emotions, but being mad was one of them. And yeah, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, about getting mad. I don't know why, but I found a YouTube video, a TED Talk, and that's why we're going to talk about this.
I want to talk about it because I feel like I'm easily triggered, and anger is the first emotion to bubble up. So I need a little work there.
I get it. So you are what?
AT&T goes out, automatically angry.
Right? You know? Instead of like, yeah, sourcing, what, yeah, can I do?
Yeah.
So I was, you know, fingering my way through Instagram the other day, and I actually came
you
about
were fingering your way through Instagram.
I once read a book, and they used the word "she fingered through a book," and so I think, you know, besides the sexual connotations, we can use it.
I was right where Anthony was, but you're right; we can use it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I was fingering my way through Instagram
wow,
one
so
day.
So I was fingering myself through Instagram,
and I found this BuzzFeed article, and it was featuring an anger researcher, but he's also he's got a doctorate in counseling psychology on anger and why we get mad and what to do when we get mad, or if someone, you know, writes you that text message like, you won't believe what happened just now, I am so mad about it. And it's kind of interesting, and I found what he said about something so interesting. He said what angers you would like maybe not at all anger someone else. It's so fascinating how we're wired so differently. So Dr. Ryan Martin, and then I saw this BuzzFeed, and then I dug a little deeper in him because he's quite fascinating. The link for this will be in the show notes. But then I went to his TED Talk on why we get mad, like the science behind getting mad, like the chemistry reaction, yeah, which within our body. And he prefaced it with, you know, the emotion of anger gets a bad rap, you know, because you get pissed.
It's not all bad.
It's not all bad. And he was talking about how it can actually be a really healthy and powerful tool. And this is going to segue later into our bigger conversation. But what he was saying is that, you know, obviously it's the little things. He uses in both, in his TED Talk, he uses how driving is such a instigator for anger. And he talks about like people driving cars. He's like, you know what, let's call them monsters.
He is hilarious. I love his TikTok videos.
He's great. He was saying like the other monsters driving, because that's how we perceive them. Like, you're going slow and you are ruining my day, you know, and then we catastrophize when you say someone's going slow in front of us, and it starts to drum up all of these issues within us. The honking, the riding up on their ass.
My favorite
is when you pull next to them and you have to get a look at who is driving.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's where I take my anger on the road. That's as far as it goes. I don't ever say anything. Occasionally honk, but I do sometimes need to see the person.
I would say there's probably more than half the time I'm like, all right, I kind of feel bad. Like,
I know, same, especially if it's an oldie.
Always, yeah, if it's an oldie.
And like, you can't see their head because their arms are so short. They're like sitting on a phone book.
And then I think they're probably terrified.
Of course.
You know?
And then you feel bad.
Sads.
Yeah.
I go angry and then sad.
Just a little tiny segue of something I noticed. I do feel bad sometimes. There are people in the left lane. I mean, if your parents taught you this, which
mine did,
drilled it into my head.
Same.
The left lane on the expressway is the passing lane, is the fast lane. Get the fuck out if you're going to go the speed limit. Like, the speed limit is slow. But I do feel, I don't know, I've read things and seen things. I don't know that everyone has that knowledge passed down to them. And I feel like we think it's you should, and everyone should know this. And honestly, I think a lot of people don't.
I don't think everyone realizes that.
So you're
that.
Saying ignorance is triggering anger?
Yes. Yes. I feel like, you know, you're thinking, oh, this person's fucking, you know, or whatever, or they're stupid. And as many things as you want to shout at them. I think it's just, unfortunately, no one passed on.
They just don't know.
They just don't know.
And then there's the opposite side of the equation. It's the aggressor. Like, if you're that person, or if you're at a stoplight, and the second it turns green, someone's laying on their horn. And then I'm the type of person, and then I turn around, I'm like, what the F, what are you honking at? I literally just turned. So now they have transferred their aggression onto you. And so what Dr. Martin is talking about, he goes all the way back to like our ancestors. Like
it all goes back to
like cavemen with clubs, like beating the shit out of one another for food. It's fight or flight, right? And he even went into the science of like why our face gets red.
I loved that.
So that, because our blood vessels react and that we need to send blood to the extremities so that they work. And then why, and that's why your face gets red. And then why your breathing gets maybe shorter and your heart rate goes up. That's your parasympathetic system kicking in. And it goes so far back, it's for survival. But now this day and age, he jokes that you can't just take a club and like
beat the shit out of someone.
Well, and this minor traffic thing isn't like, you know, it's not life or death.
Right.
And, or, you know, most of the time.
I understand what you're saying, but he also said that like, he also brings back, Michelle, we were talking about the negative thinking a couple episodes ago, and one of them was catastrophizing, and that's what he brought up in the traffic thing.
I know, but I also thought it was interesting that catastrophizing is one of the components of anger, and I just told you guys moments ago, I feel like my first reaction to things is anger, and I'm a catastrophizer.
It goes hand in hand.
That totally is connected.
But we are going to figure we're going to round this out with how your anger is actually really healthy and powerful. And I think all it is that we all experience anger is you experience the emotion, and then what are you going to do with it?
You got to do something with
it. Are you going to break windows? You might break something that we've agreed upon. We're throwing this out. Go break it. It's healthy. Mm-hmm. Scream in a pillow or take a couple deep breaths. Like breathe before you react, mm-hmm. and then move forward with whatever it is you're doing. A couple other things that he spoke about were the appraisal, the pre-appraisal of what is making you mad and how big of a deal is it? So you go from there to say like, okay, they honked at me. What's the big deal? Yeah. Or this person's driving slow. I'm kind of angry, but what's the big deal? And then from there, you go into the provocations. If the anger were to trigger itself, well, why are you getting angry, catastrophizing? Well, if I'm late for this interview, I'm going to lose my job, lose all my money, and I'm going to have to go live with my parents. Or it's blocking me from my goals of getting to my doctor's appointment on time. Or all these different reasons why you might get angry. And he doesn't really give many tools on how to kind of subside all of that anger. But what he did was shift it into a space of, okay, we all know we have these tendencies to have anger. But when it comes down to like that kind of shit is just like everyday stuff, manage it, figure it out,
deal with it,
breathe it out. But that the healthy, powerful anger is the stuff, the big stuff we're talking about. Like even now, this day and age, whether it's, you know, social injustice or it's unfair treatment at work or someone's not safe in a position that they're in. How can you transfer that anger to in your body and in your mind and use it for the good of others? And like you were saying earlier, Michelle, like writing about it.
Yes.
Or creating something with it, like making a film about it. So he doesn't give a ton of tools on what you can do to change like your anger or how to fix it. But I will say that I listened to a different TED Talk that we listened to, The Referee.
Loved him.
And this other guy, he was talking about, he became a referee to learn how to not take things personally, because as we know, referees,
they get their brains beat out.
They get their asses kicked.
It's like no one ever yells like, yeah, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, awesome calls.
No, they're like, you're a loser. Get a different hobby. It's amazing.
But I love that he put himself into that situation specifically to sort of master how to not
like
be
repel.
Affected by that.
Fun fact, you ready? We have almost 50,000 thoughts a day, and only 10,000 of which are positive.
Unbelievable. 80% of our thoughts are negative.
That is so sad.
Horrific.
My condolences.
Surprised it's not worse. Yeah.
Shit. But what he said, he gave such a great of like mind trick. Think instead of me, think we. So like when that person behind you is honking their horn, maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe someone's giving birth at a hospital, right? You never know.
It's not you.
It's not always about you.
It really is that person.
Right, exactly. So it's not personal. Yeah. It's not your driving. It's maybe they've got somewhere to be and et cetera. So with Dr. Martin, in regards to getting angry, he did go then on a small little tangent in a good way about how we can take our anger in certain situations, whether it's like social injustice or
protesting.
Well, social injustice, like things happening in work and what you can do to better the lives of yourself and others. And there's ways to go about it instead of, you know, like flipping a switch and go like
fighting
turn
back
into the Hulk.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe create something, literature, a movie,
record
protest,
a podcast,
record a podcast,
write something.
Anthony yes. meditates all day long to control his anger.
Yes. That helps. That's a tool.
It's a tool.
And yeah. But this is the thing. Do you stop and say, I am really fucking fired up right now. I need to remove myself from this situation and calm it down. Do you do that?
Yeah, I think sometimes I do that intentionally, and sometimes I think after you're meditating a while, it just sort of happens naturally. You sort of pop out from yourself, and you realize, you kind of watch yourself, and you're like, okay, like, God. What are you, look at yourself right now, because you realize, I mean, you know, mindfulness is a big thing, is you are not your thoughts.
I love that.
You're sort of like perched up above your thoughts and everything, and you... Every thought that goes through your head is not you.
I have so much work to do in that space specifically, that being able to pull myself out and look on myself and just take a moment. Like I don't know.
But I think you are doing, Michelle, I was going to say too, that you and I think sometimes with Anthony too, I'll say like, we both will say like, all right, I know I'm taking this personally, so we will acknowledge it, or I know I'm assuming something. So we are trying, like if we're trying to figure out why something is happening in our situation.
I think honestly, like people beat themselves up, but if just having the awareness, just knowing
that's
that
a step
is a huge step. I feel like unfortunately, there's probably a lot of people who don't even, you know, just don't even go
right.
there.
I think you're right.
You know, the awareness is, I mean, I think you're already 80% there, you know, and then, you know, meditation will help for sure.
You know what, this is reminding me though, Lauren, of an exchange you and I had yesterday when we were working, and I was struggling. I was definitely putting out a vibe that wasn't like happy go lucky. And you said you were feeling it, and you were like, hey, is everything all right? I'm kind of feeling like you're right. I did apply my tool yesterday because I said to you, I said, I am not in a good place. Please don't take this personally at all. And you were like, fair enough.
And
fair enough.
Honestly, maybe 5 months ago, I probably would have been on it still and been like, well, you're acting kind of like it is about me. And it was great that we did that. And then we moved on with our meeting.
And actually, I think it sort of reset the meeting. And it was a little bit better than when it started, because it was, we cleared the air.
Yeah, it was like, there's something clearly going on.
There's no reason to wonder. I just told you it's not you.
Yeah.
It's me. I've got some stuff. We're done.
I think this is like the best segue into our bigger conversation.
Love it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So I hope we all don't get too angry later. So if you're listening in, I hope what we talk about next doesn't anger you.
But don't, let's not be confused. I mean, I think I still have my moments. I mean, like meditate, you know, you're still going to act like a fucking psycho.
Yes.
Sometimes. Stuff's still going to piss you off. You're still going to say stupid things or whatever. And, you know, your just hope is that you're mitigating it and you're...
becomes less. You become more aware, less reactive.
That's what I have to work on.
Same.
And my thing is I will react or I'll say something when I know in my brain I have to not react and pause and take a breath and maybe revisit it like in 20 minutes and not in 20 seconds.
Yeah, same. That's my biggest problem, is giving it a pause.
I know we're called the sister project here, but we're kind of a human project.
Ooh, I like that.
Wow.
All right, let's do this. So this suggestion for a topic comes by way of a loyal listener and Instagram weird internet friend, Anna McLaughlin. Is it Anna?
It's Anna.
Anna McLaughlin. So Anna wrote us in and she kind of just tagged us in something without really saying much. You know, like I love that where it's like they slide into our DMs and they're like, boom, here you go. And it's like, yes, thank you. Because coming up with topics is not that easy.
Oh, I love when we
So keep them coming, people.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Anna, you are officially a content contributor.
Congrats.
Thank
Anna.
You. So what she did is she sent us a meme, and this meme was put out by Scary Mommy, and Scary Mommy has like 2.something million followers. Gigantic platform. I'm going to read the meme, and then we're going to unpack this. And by the way, this is why Anthony has been on our last two podcast episodes, because we get stuck talking about this, and then we set up the third mic, and now he's with us again.
He had no choice. He had to sit down.
Yep. Law of proximity. Just hanging around.
So here is what it reads. A few things to keep in mind as we start to gather and socialize again this summer. Someone's weight loss? Not your business. Someone's weight gain? Not your business. Someone drinking or not drinking, not your business. Someone's change in marriage, housing situation, relationship status, sex life, gender identity, it is not your business. And I believe the caption read, I repeat, Brenda, it is not your business.
Wait, who's Brenda?
That's some lady named Brenda. I guess Brenda's the new Karen. Yeah, okay. I guess so. I feel bad for anyone named Karen and Brenda these days.
Sucks to be a Brenda or a Karen.
I mean, what's going to be like loser Lauren next?
Hopefully not.
Asshole Anthony.
Probably.
Mother effer Michelle. Like, what the hell? So I had a lot of thoughts when I first saw this. So how should we start unpacking
this? I had to read it over and over again and marinate over it for some time after I read it. As we said before, I first want to know who...
That's... Okay, let's start there.
Okay.
Who's this written for?
Who is it written for?
Who is this written for? And who is it that we are socializing with? I'm going to tell you something.
Mutants?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm at a friend's backyard barbecue and they invited all their neighbors over... I'm probably not going to talk about any of those things with their backyard neighbors.
Yeah.
Or their next door neighbors. I don't know. But why would I? Why would you?
Yeah, I think.
Pretty obvious.
I think sometimes with these memes, like you or whatever, you know, you come across these sort of worded out things and the way they're written. And so I think there's a sense that, oh, this is true because it is a thing. And this, whatever, you have 2.something million followers is putting it out there. But really, it's like, I feel like people need to read it again.
Read it again.
Because I think the tendency is to read it and be like, yeah, I agree with that. Do you really? Like, what is the context of that?
Right. Like, of course, if we were all in conversation at a party, I don't think that if we were sitting there and there were 15 other people here in this space with us, that those would be the topics that we would talk about. It's a pretty obvious thing, right? So...
Yeah, those topics totally lend themselves to more, I feel, intimate, close friend conversations,
so,
close people.
Right. So now are we talking about socializing with our best friends? And are those off topic? Like, is that how this works? I guess what the reason is, here's why I'm miffed by this, is because there's several things. First of all, these are pretty obvious. Like, you wouldn't really talk about these with people that you are just socializing with in a standard group setting, right? I think that's pretty fair.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to ask someone how their gender identity is going or how's your sex life? Did you guys screw a lot?
I heard through the grapevine you're getting a divorce. Is it final?
Right. Okay, so this is pretty obvious stuff. I think where I have like a deeper issue with this is that for the past year, we've been told what we can and can't do so much. Can't go outside, can't see people. Yeah, I gotta wear a mask.
A lot of rules.
You have to address social injustice this way, you know, and there's a lot of rules. So we're really adhering to what people are telling us. And then we're kind of listening to a lot of what memes are telling us. A freaking digital square that someone typed some words on, and now it is a commandment. Mm-hmm. And that's where my brain begins to explode a little bit because I think not in all aspects of life, but a lot of us have gotten to where we are without having memes telling us what to do and how to behave as a human up until this point.
Fair enough.
Right?
Yep.
I needed memes, actually.
No, don't get me wrong. There are some out there that really do a beautiful job of breaking things down, unpacking certain things, and explaining certain things. But now that we get to go out and socialize, I'm being told how I can and can't socialize. I don't know.
Well, I think you navigate, like, you are a professional at this. You know where that line is. You talk to people so well. People open up to you. You open up to them. Like, this is not for you. and I don't know, I don't think it's for Michelle either. I don't know if, I mean, I'm probably the most awkward person here, and I don't even think it's for me. I don't.
They're talking about people that may have gotten like a lobotomy during COVID and are coming out and going, "You got fat," or like this. Honestly, what this reminds me of, and I hate to be an asshole, this reminds me of like our mom June, whose brain wasn't functioning anymore and was stayed, like would literally point out to people like, "You look fatter than usual." But again, her brain wasn't functioning. So I guess I look at this and I'm like, can we give us humans a little bit more credit?
Well, I also think that we are coming from a place where we were on the receiving end of like a social situation where we were going through a hard time. You know, we were struggling with our mom's illness, and there were moments when we were in conversation with friends or with family, and maybe somebody didn't ask us how we were doing, and that bothered us more, or bothered me more, because it was like that, you know, or you're navigating something with a close friend or family member, and you know that there's something going on in your life. Like, we can't ask them how they're doing. That just adds, like, I don't know.
That's kind of where I'm going with this too, is that I feel like we're coming out of a really messed up moment in life. People lost loved ones. People's marital statuses have broken down. Yeah. People are going through maybe substance abuse, infertility, a lot of different things. And I'm going to just, this is an example. And when June was sick and we saw our friend John, or Boo, that some people know him as, we were at like Lollapalooza, or at a pre-party for Lollapalooza. I'll never forget, he came up to me and he put both of his hands on my shoulder. He's a very tall man. He put both of his hands on my shoulder and he looked at me. He goes, "I am thinking so much about you," and gave me a huge hug.
And how did that feel?
It felt like I felt so lucky to have him as a friend, and I was happy that I knew him. And I was grateful that he acknowledged that my mom was sick and dying, and it felt good. Now, did we sit and talk about it for the next hour? No. But it felt like it was a connection that was so unexpected that honestly took our friendship in a different route.
And let's also talk about this. In that moment, say that beautiful moment, that such a loving, kind moment you had with him, and he was so thoughtful and right to say that to you. But you also, if you wanted to, you didn't. You could have said, "Hey, thanks so much. I really can't. I'm not into this conversation right now." In however way you decide to say it, and that's your prerogative.
Yeah, and it wasn't, the beautiful thing about it wasn't even like it was going to be a discussion. It was
right.
Just a touch of love and just a friend showing compassion, which was so needed throughout that whole experience. Mm. And I think that's what bugs me a little bit about this. You know, society now is like, mental health, let's talk about it. Let's not be so shameful about it. And so I'm not saying people need to go to a backyard party and start throwing out all
and out.
Yeah. No, and be like, "Oh, here's the Debbie Downer telling you all my problems." But what if you did happen to get into a conversation with someone and say like, "How you doing?" And they then they might open up and they might start talking about it. I just feel like we're really limiting our capacity to be compassionate humans and be there for one another by looking at these memes say, "Don't do this, don't do that."
I 100% agree with you.
I don't know. I just
agree.
I think that whoever wrote that probably is going through something else.
Exactly.
They're probably on the receiving end of some toxic people, either in the workplace
for sure,
or friends.
And that's fair.
Who are not our friend John, who just like exudes caringness.
Yeah.
You know, a coworker or an acquaintance that might come up and be like just a busybody gossiper.
Yeah, gossip and care are two different things.
Who were maybe asking questions and probing with the intention of just want to seek information and maybe gossip about it. So if you have those people in your life, it's like, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for you. I feel like you need to find your good people.
Yeah.
We are coming from maybe a little bit of a place of privilege where we have a really good network of friends who are like family and, you know, work constantly. I feel like we do have a transparency. We're asking people things.
Truly.
And they're open and we're open. I think that's sort of, maybe we don't realize how good we have it and other people don't have it that way. So that results in this post that, you know, is meant for one thing, but can totally get misconstrued.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I understand when people want to be private. Everyone has the right to be private and keep their things themselves. 100%.
But
I also tend to think sometimes that because you and I come from we talk.
Open book.
We're an open book. For me, I feel like a way to solve a problem is not by keeping it inside my own head. If I'm going through something, if I'm struggling with something, if I need support for something, I can't be alone in myself. I lean on people. I talk to people. I think that that sounds to me like it could be coming from a person who is in a not in a great headspace, perhaps,
right,
and isn't in a place where they want to hear what other folks have to say or are trying to help. I don't know. I just sometimes when people aren't talking, I feel like there needs to be more of an internal work to get it out, because talking is where the healing can come from.
Sure.
You know,
and those people, like, and if, you know, I look at it this way too, like, I don't know this, and I get it. We are so open, and we talk about death, infertility, our struggles in life, and all the good things as well. So I expect that if I were to see someone who follows us here in this space come up to me and say, hey, how's your fertility journey going? I will be as open or not open as I want and say, it's going great. You know, thanks for tuning in, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe we'll talk about it. I'll tell you what though. For me talking about it, I've received so much information from people who have gone through it. So I'm learning from people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And they've come and they've become a resource and a source for me to ask questions. And it's a safe space. I think that when it comes to so let's talk about what these issues were. Weights off limits, drinking or not drinking, you know, marital status, housing situation, relationship status, sex life, and gender identity. I get it. These are very sensitive, private topics, okay? Again, I just question who this is written for and who are we socializing with? I'll tell you what, I went to dinner.
Are we socializing? Are those people socializing?
That's a really, like, who,
like,
are they?
Are you freaking socializing?
And what was, right. That's my thing. I'm like, give us a little bit more credit. We're humans, and humans thrive and survive with community.
Community, yes.
Community is like the center of, is the center of how someone can, their well-being, you know? And if someone's going through something, yeah, they might not announce it at a goddamn graduation party. I don't know, but I've been at parties before where I've gotten into beautiful conversations with people one-on-one just by opening up a little bit.
Yes, because sometimes the person that you're opening up to has just walked that walk or lived something or has a way to offer you or shed some light on your experience that might just make you feel like you're being, like, held in a warm hug for 5 freaking minutes.
And there's a lot of value in a human being going out into the world and experiencing it on their own journey at their own pace, whether they want to open up or not, or they want to talk to someone about something. And I feel like that's when, like, social media begins to really bug the shit out of me, when we are policing people of just experiencing life.
Yeah. I think you don't want to be, it's not always good to see someone you know is going through something and you're friends with that person and you're afraid to ask them about it.
Yes.
You know, and for fear of what might come of it, I feel like oftentimes it's a good thing, you know, unless you're coming from a bad place, which, you know.
I've been there. I've been in situations with my people where I felt like I couldn't have a certain part of a conversation, and that, it makes it different. It makes it feel almost inauthentic. It feels like you're dancing around the actual real big giant elephant that
right.
you should be talking about.
Right. I guess the one thing that does stick out, the one thing that people pay a lot of attention to, obviously, is weight. Mostly weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always, it's kind of like a badge of honor. It's like, oh, she got skinnier. You look great. And I'm kind of in that camp where there's more things than appearance, you know, like, how's life, how's work? But then people don't want to talk about work. So you're really kind of trying to navigate what people can and can't and don't want to talk about, which I think that's the art of being a human and just getting out in public and socializing and sorting out what people do want to talk about.
Listen, I'm old school. I think you go out in public and I say, talk about all of the things that seem right, that feel like they're going to add value and you're going to have a great conversation, and ditch the stuff that always sucks in conversation. Politics, religion, all of those things, those are the things that I say you don't talk about.
Yeah. And I, you know, we've been so neglected of like being able to see people. So I understand if this was like a friendly reminder, but like we didn't get lobotomies while we were in COVID. You know what I mean?
Not idiots.
I guess, you know what? I suppose there have been people out there who have run into the folks who have said things that are so jarring that you're like, God, I can't believe you just outed me because I'm getting a divorce in front of all of these strangers. I'm assuming all that shit happens. But I'm just hoping that as we come out of our homes, that we're able to just embrace seeing one another. And I'll tell you what, when I saw my best friend that moved back, Maggie, and when I see my best friends, we are literally like, you go first, then you, then you. And we throw it all out there because at least for me and my friendships, I know how it is for you guys and your closest.
It's the same.
Isn't that what being friends is all about?
It's all of those things that were on the not allowed list are the things that we, when we get together and are there to spend time together, those are the things we talk about.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And if you're writing that, then maybe you don't have as good of friends as you, mm-hmm. as you want or deserve. Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's all about self-growth and just like experiencing life on our own pace. I just get so annoyed by these policing memes.
You don't like to be told what to do.
I mean, come on. We are adults. I mean, if you, and by the way, how about this? We all learn from mistakes. Say you go out there and you do say something that maybe didn't go over so well. You're going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It's like, okay, maybe you might accidentally offend someone, but that's what apologies are for. That's what bigger conversations are for.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's where I don't know. Maybe it's the Scorpio in me. Maybe I need to write a new meme.
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's cancel culture and it's a really murky topic. I feel like, you know, and then, there are times where it is deserving, but I feel like it does have that adverse effect where people are walking on eggshells, worried about what they can talk about. And in film, it's like looking back at old movies and, you know, okay, that didn't age well, you know.
Of course.
But those things still need to get made. And guess what? We need to make shit now that mm-hmm. might not age well, because that's how you learn, like, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like there's a tippy-toe thing that's going on now trying to really be so PC with everything you create and put out there, and then I don't know, like, are you really going to learn from your mistakes that way? I mean, yes, maybe, but there are the people who need to just create and put something out there and then have these difficult conversations.
And there's a difference between being malicious and being, you know, completely inappropriate or throwing things that are just so intentionally wrong out there, and also just doing something or saying something with good intentions and it doesn't go over well. You know, telling someone to take a dirt nap, but then asking someone how they're doing. Oh, I heard things weren't going okay. Yeah. And they're like, whoa, I don't want to talk about that. Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. But telling, you know,
that's not okay.
Right. Like, come on now. And you never know when you might be the person that, or someone might be the person for you, might help one another. I think it goes all the way back to our good friend Butch Albarico, who says one thing and one thing only: just don't be an asshole and stay cozy.
Thank you for joining us over here at Cozy Conversations. We are honored to be part of your regular podcast lineup, and if it wasn't already evident, we really love creating cozy content for you. You guys, we are so excited to share that we are offering a monthly subscription to the Sister Project over at anchor.com, our super cool hosting platform. We are dazzled by their initiative to support creators and their platform, so we signed ourselves up. But here's the twist. Our content is and always will be free. And to top it off, we're crazy, so we have plans to create even more. What we're doing is hopping on the content creator bandwagon and opening up space for you to support our small business, because in a way, we're like your virtual cozy cup of coffee. If you're interested in learning more, head to the anchor.com link in our show notes. And P.S., whether you decide to subscribe or not, we are just so grateful that you are tuning in.